Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is recorded for the week of July 25th, 2021. It's from Jeremiah chapter 45. It's entitled, How to Become Great. The call to worship is taken from James chapter 4, verses 6 to 10 from the New Living Translation. And he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Amen. Soon after, we have a sense that we are an individual living among other individuals. We long to be special. Children want to hear from their parents what sets them apart from others, what makes them special, perhaps a skill or a behavior. As we grow into adulthood, we start to realize that ability is only a part of standing out. It also includes who you know. Those with special connections often get the best jobs and the best references in their race to be great. Even Jesus' hand-picked apostles argued amongst themselves over which one of the 12 of them was the greatest. Is becoming great really about who you know? Does one become great by pursuing your dreams, or is it simply working harder than everyone else? We're going to answer that question by looking at a short chapter in the book of Jeremiah. But first, let's consider some background to this chapter. The Lord called Jeremiah as a prophet while he was still a young man to represent him, saying, and this is from Jeremiah chapter 1, 18 and 19, "Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." What a call. Jeremiah was called to warn Judah of God's coming judgment because they had broken their covenant with him, turning their hearts to false gods and putting their trust in political alliances. Jeremiah prophesied for more than 40 years during the reign of the last five kings of Judah. He is known as the weeping prophet because his messages brought him to tears over the people's stubborn hearts and their coming fate. As a result, Jeremiah experienced depression and discouragement, at times not even wanting to be the messenger of God's judgment, and then not being able to hold it in. Assisting Jeremiah in his ministry was a scribe named Baruch. We don't know much about Jeremiah's background, but we know that Baruch came from a noble priestly family. His grandfather is mentioned as being the governor of Jerusalem during the reign of King Josiah. This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 8. his brother is mentioned as an officer in King Zedekiah's court. Baruch had connections, and he seemed to have everything that was necessary to become great. However, something motivated Baruch to put his skills to different use when he became a scribe for the prophet Jeremiah. And like Jeremiah, Baruch also seems to have had times when his choice to be with Jeremiah brought him great sorrow. One of those times is recorded in Jeremiah chapter 45. It is remarkable that the Lord God spoke to his prophet Jeremiah with a message specifically for his scribe Baruch when he was struggling. Here it is, Jeremiah chapter 45. It's 5 verses long. When Baruch, son of Neriah, wrote on a scroll the words Jeremiah the prophet dictated in the 4th year of Jehoiakim, king of Josiah, king of Judah, Jeremiah said this to Baruch. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to you, Baruch. You said, "Woe to me! The Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I am worn out with groaning and find no rest." But the Lord has told me to say to you, this is what the Lord says. I will overthrow what I have built up and uproot what I have planted throughout the earth. Should you then seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them, for I will bring disaster on all people, declares the Lord. But wherever you go, I will let you escape with your life. Jeremiah 45, 1-5. Jeremiah 45, 1 references an event which happened in 604 BC and is recorded in Jeremiah chapter 36. At the Lord's command, Jeremiah had Baruch record on a scroll every prophecy relating to Judah and the other nations that he had received from the beginning of his ministry. They were to be read to the people of Judah. Since Jeremiah was not allowed at the temple, he told Baruch to go, and go at a time when the population would be gathered there for a fast. At least 9 months later, during a fast, we read that Baruch went and read to the people from Jeremiah's scroll. The details are included in Jeremiah chapter 36, 8-19. And these details show us Baruch's connection at the temple and within the king's court. It's interesting, he's able to use the room of a temple secretary to read to the people that were standing in the temple courtyard. Now, after his reading at the temple, someone of importance heard this, and Baruch is invited to the palace so that officials in the secretary's office in the royal palace may hear it. Chapter 36, verses 15-19 says, the official said, "Please sit down and read it to us," which he did. After they heard what was written on the scroll, they were worried, and they said to each other, "The king needs to hear this." Turning to Baruch, they asked, "Did someone tell you what to write on this scroll?" "Yes, Jeremiah did," Baruch replied. "I wrote it down just what he told me." The official said, "You and Jeremiah must go into hiding and don't tell anyone where you are." Next, King Jehoiakim is told about the scroll, and he ordered that it be brought to him and read. And we read in verses 23 and 24, whenever Jehudi had read three or four columns of the scroll, the king cut them off with the scribe's knife and threw them into the fire pot until the entire scroll was burned in the fire. The king and all his attendants who heard these words showed no fear, nor did they tear their clothes. Now, we also read that those who had, that Baruch had read the scroll to at the palace and then alerted the king, they kept telling the king, don't do this, don't burn the scroll. But he did so even with their advice. And then he ordered that Baruch and Jeremiah be arrested. Jeremiah chapter 45, verse 1 suggests that this was not the result that Baruch had hoped for. It's quite likely he had chosen to help Jeremiah in his work for God rather than seek success in the palace. However, his emotions were raw at this point. We see this as God uses six terms to describe what Baruch is going through: woe, sorrow, pain, worn out, groaning, and no rest. Can you identify with Baruch's emotions? It can be so frustrating to be attempting to do something good for the Lord. And sometimes it's taken quite a bit of persuasion to get us to agree to do that. And then to find that we face opposition and criticism for our service to the Lord. You may wonder why God isn't stopping it. God, I'm doing what you asked me to do. Why are you letting this happen? Now, Bible scholars are not sure whether Baruch is lamenting over the personal sacrifices that he had to make in order to serve Jeremiah, or if he is distressed because of what will happen to his fellow citizens due to their hardened hearts. And it's just wearing on him, these words of prophecy that he keeps having to write down or read, and yet there's no change. We're not sure. But verse 4 confirms that God's judgment is coming. He says, I will overthrow what I have built and uproot what I have planted throughout the earth. This verse reminds us how seriously God takes sin. Notice here, he is willing to endure the sorrow of tearing down generations of work with his chosen people rather than have them continue in sin. There's an image here of a farmer tearing out maybe his precious trees, maybe olive trees that he might have been passed down from generation to generation. The wine presses and all these things, I'm going to tear out and tear down. It's quite a picture that God uses here, speaking of his sorrow and his commitment to his people to rid them of sin. Jeremiah 45 verse 5 contains the answer to our question, how does one become great? How does one become great? God says to Baruch, should you then, like verse 4, this is what I am doing, and the cost, the sacrifices I'm making for my people because of their sin. Verse 5, should you then seek great things for yourself? Should that be your focus, Baruch? God goes on, do not seek them, for I will bring disaster on all people, declares the Lord. Don't invest yourself in this country, he's saying. Don't invest yourself in this government. Don't seek greatness by doing the things that other men, that other people say, that'll make you significant. That won't do it. Don't seek greatness for yourself, because I know what's coming. All of this is going to be gone. You know we can't take anything with us when we die. That's essentially what we're being reminded of. What is of ultimate importance? What are you investing your life in? Should you seek great things for yourself, do not seek them. For I will bring disaster on all people, declares the Lord. But wherever you go, I will let you escape with your life. God is assuring him that no matter what comes, yes, you've been recording these prophecies of destruction, but my hand's on you. I will protect you, Baruch. We don't become great by seeking great things for ourselves or by relying on our cunning or our connections. We become great in God's eyes by obeying him in humility, wherever that is he places us. Paul Robinson, missionary to Uruguay, said, "Don't worry about doing something great. Be great by doing what you can where God has placed you. It will pay off after a while." Now, the Bible tells us that Baruch stayed with Jeremiah, and both of them were forcibly taken to Egypt by those fleeing Babylonian retribution. We see this in Jeremiah chapter 43. And that's the last we hear of them, at least where they are. And while in Egypt, Jeremiah prophesied that Babylon would invade and defeat Egypt, and that happened in 583 BC. The first century historian Josephus implies that both men were taken captive to Babylon during that invasion of Egypt. And Jewish rabbinic tradition suggests that Baruch was a teacher of Ezra. And Ezra is the priest who instructed those who had returned to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. So it's interesting here. The Lord did preserve Baruch's life. He didn't die during the fall of Jerusalem. He was taken to Egypt, and possibly there's more to the story than we know at this point. Now, Baruch's life teaches us, first of all, it's all right to be ambitious if it is God-directed ambition, with an eagerness to fulfill God's plan in life and to advance his kingdom. It's all right to be ambitious, but make God's goal your ambition. Second thing we're reminded of, that it's dangerous to be driven by selfish ambition. It's dangerous to be driven by selfish ambition. An old Moravian prayer says, "From the desire of being great, good Lord, deliver us." And thirdly, when setbacks and failures occur, we need to recognize the hand of God and hear his voice. Disappointments are often his appointments, because we need to remember our times are in his hands. I close with the words of Oswald Sanders from Robust in Faith, who learned over time how to trust God's way to greatness. He writes, "I asked of God that he should give success to the high task I sought for him to do. I asked that every hindrance might grow less, and that my hours of weakness might be few. I asked that far and lofty heights be scaled, and now I humbly thank him that I failed. For with the pain and sorrow came to me a dower of tenderness in act and thought, and with the failure came a sympathy, an insight, which success had never brought. Father, I had been foolish and unblessed if thou had granted me my blind request." How to become great? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and follow his will through the tough and the good. Know that he is with you. Thank him for that and trust him all the days of your life. Amen. I'm going to close with a benediction from Colossians chapter 3, the first part of verse 15, 16, and all of 17. "Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. The Lord bless you.